Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and I'm here hosting with my beautiful, smart, and wise wife,
Katasha Riley.
Today's Sunday conversation is entitled Our History, Our Month, Our Story. Listening audience, please welcome to our studio a man who really needs no introduction in Columbus, Georgia. Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. y'all know him as Dogman. Would you please give him a round of applause, listening audience? We are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And just in case you are just tuned in to today's Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, which is entitled Our History, Our Month, and Our Story. Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. Dogman, how are you doing today?
Doing just fine.
All right, thank you. Well, Dogman, I thank you for being our special guest today. This young man of 79 years old, he has so much wisdom and knowledge about our history in Columbus, Georgia, and history period in the United States. And so we are just blessed to have him in the studio today. So I would just like to just thank you from Sunday Conversation with the Rileys for just taking time out your busy day and just sharing with us some of the valuable knowledge in history that you have, considering that it's Black History Month this month. So please, Mr. Paul Leonard, would you please tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, what you're up to, and things of that nature?
Yes, I sure can. First of all, I was born right here in Columbus, Georgia. I came out of a little place called Marshallville, over on the south side next to Elizabeth Cannon home. There, when I left there, I left home when I was 19 years old, joined the military. Once I joined the military, I got out of the military after 6 years because I was going in and out of Vietnam. And once I left Vietnam, I come back, I joined the Columbus Fire Department here. Once I joined the Columbus Fire Department, I worked there 30 years.
Awesome. Now, we're going to get into the rest of that during the show. Now, Mr. Paul Leonard, February is Black History Month. And as an Afro-American man, I'm so proud that, you know, that God has blessed us with the month. And so my question to you and to you also, beautiful co-host, Katasha Riley, what is Black history to you? You can go ahead first, Mr. Dogman, a.k.a. Paul Leonard.
Black history is everything to me. We need to know. We need to know about the people before us. We definitely need to know that. Black history is everything to me and should be for all Black people.
Well, you know, like I said, Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. Dogman, is 79 years old. And when I think about Black history, I think of the wisdom of the people who have came before us. So many mistakes in life that we make as young people, I don't believe we would make if we would just sit down with somebody like Paul Leonard Dogman and just listen to some of the things that he had been through, the good things and the bad things. Because if you don't understand your history, some things you're doomed to repeat again. And so, again, I just thank God for people like Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. Dogman, for being here. Now, what does Black history mean to you, beautiful wife, co-host, Katasha Riley?
Well, my favorite historian is Harriet Tubman, and that's because she was such a awesome trailblazer. And when I look at the history of the things that she did and the toughness that she had, she definitely had to be a double alpha female. But she was driven, and she didn't let nobody stop her from, you know, her freedom and, you know, freeing others as well. And so that the Black history part in my own family makes me think about my grandmother, my grandfather, and all the things that they did as well in this modern time. And so Black history is everything to me, you know, as well, to teach our kids the history of what we're doing, and we are a part of Black history.
You know, you can't really say Black history without mentioning MLK. And so my question to you, Mr. Paul Leonard Dogman and my beautiful wife, have we really advanced from the day of MLK, civil rights movement, today, or have we gone back in a sense?
In some ways, really, we really have advanced. We have advanced, but a lot of times we do things that just go backwards. And I would love to get a good example of that, but I don't know whether I can say it on air, and it's not profanity.
Okay, well, okay then, let's hear what you got.
A good example is the Liberty Theater.
Okay.
It was black owned, everything. Now the city owns it.
Right.
They're going to turn it over to the city. What is the city going to do with it? I think we should have kept it.
So you think that some of the things that we acquired as a people, it should remain with us as a people?
As I definitely do. I really think that.
Okay. Now what do you think, Ms. Katasha Riley?
I think that, you know, when it comes down to the Liberty, you know, Theater, I definitely, I had an opportunity to put a piece of art in there. And, you know, where is that, where would that art be today, you know? And that art was something that came from Uganda, Africa. Where would that art be today?
It wouldn't be in the Liberty.
So, you know, that's really all I got to say, because I don't want to say too much about that, not knowing all the facts. But I do agree that it's some things that are acquired by African Americans that need to be kept, you know, sacred and safe in our own community.
You know, I'm so proud to be an Afro American man, and I think back to the days of my grandmother and her mother and the days of Mr. Paul Leonard when they marched and the dogs were sicked on them and the water hose was turned on them and they were lynchings and stuff. These people before us endured a lot of things that today we'll never see today. And so I know for a fact we have advanced as far as black history, but certain things, I believe if Dr. King was alive today, he would be upset about the crime in Afro-American community. I believe he would be upset as far as the division in some of the Afro-American community. And right. And I know going forward, I know that we can do better. Because as a people, we have overcame a lot of things in our life. And yes. Slavery is just not part of our Afro-American history. There are a lot of great inventors. There are a lot of great doctors, lawyers, engineers, barbers, hairstylists, and nail techs in the Afro-American community. But we'll get into that later on. My next question is, why is our Afro-American history important?
It's very important, especially for the next generation, our kids. They need to know. It's a lot of kids, not kids, but middle-aged kids or whatever I'm saying, around 17 to 18 to 21 years old, don't know no black history. And you got a jerk down there in Florida trying to take black history out of the schools. That is so dumb.
Now, we're going to get into that later
okay.
on. Okay. But go ahead, Ms. Katasha Riley.
It's important because of who we are. You know, I always try to, you know, mirror what I know, which is my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And without knowing the history of who I am, then, you know, who am I? So, of course, you know, the black history of finding out the generations of things that we have overcame, but at the same time, just looking at the facts of what you can do today, what happened then, you know, versus now, and how that is, and how can that inspire you to be great? And so that part of our black history is not only a story, but it's factual.
Come on now. Listen, just in case you are joining us today for our Sunday conversation with the Rileys entitled Our History, Our Month, and Our Story. And we're talking about black history in Columbus, Georgia and abroad. In the studio today, we have with us Paul Leonard. You know him as Dogman. And I see Dogman has a list here of some history in Columbus, Georgia that we really need to know about. Because, you know, Dog Man, he comes to the barbershop, Overflow Salon and Barbershop, and he just give me a rundown of all the history of Columbus, Georgia. And I'm amazed at the knowledge and wisdom that he has. And I thank God again that he's in the studio today sharing with us some of his wisdom and knowledge. And so, Dog Man, I see you have some of that notebook paper from 1970. So go down the list and tell us some of the black history of Columbus, Georgia.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you about the fire department. I'll go to the fire department, then I'll go to the police department. Back in the day when we was going to the fire department, we had A.J. McClung, Robert Wright. They had what you call a safety board. Mm-hmm. And you had to go before this board to get hired. So I was smart. When I got out of the Army the 28th November 1968, and I fixed with Dr. Wright and them, I went before the board. Went to the fire department 1st of December 1968. Okay. Once I was in the fire department, I stayed there 10 years. Mm-hmm. I was the first black engineer that they had. What I mean by engineer, the first one to drive a pumper, not the ladder truck and the snorkel.
What is a pumper?
Okay. A pumper is the one that you see comes out and pump the water as far as to your...
The hooks to the fire hydrant.
There you go. Okay. It hooks to the fire hydrant. That's the engine pumper. Then I became the first black training officer, which I trained the entire fire department.
Wow.
And once I left there, I went to Fort Benning Fire Department. But the way they used to hire, they hired two of us at a time. And I could name a couple of guys
like... This back in 1968.
Yep. They started 6 or 7. Albert Tumbles was the first one to hire.
Okay.
And just going over the guys that was hired first, you had Bush and Thomas. You had Leonard and Hudson. You had Peaside Jenkins and Jimmy Johnson. And you had myself and Skip Alexander.
Two at a time.
In 1969, they kind of they hired another shift where they would hire three guys, but they was hiring two blacks at a time, and we slept in the same bed. We couldn't sleep in the same bed with the white boy. And this old trick that we used to do, when they come in, they didn't want to sleep on the same side that we slept on. But before they got there, we flipped the mattress over. And you know what happened there. Right. To make a long story short, the fire department was great for a long time there once I got out. Now I want to talk a little about the police department. Okay, I think if I remember right, it's 1952. That's when they hired the first black police officer.
In Columbus, Georgia.
In Columbus,
1952.
If I remember right, it was Paul Odom, Freddie Brown, Hickey White, Fred Spencer. Those was the first black police officers they hired.
Four Afro-American
police
officers. On the whole entire Columbus Police Department.
Right.
And, wow.
And they couldn't arrest nobody, but they put them in the black neighborhood. Well, they arrest nobody but the...
Now, this is our history.
Yeah, this is history.
They couldn't arrest nothing but other Afro-Americans.
That's the only area that they had them in starting out.
Right.
Later on in 1971, we had race riots. And the reason we had race riots...
We had race riots in Columbus, Georgia.
Yes, we did.
Where?
Right here in Columbus, Georgia. Downtown, all around Columbus. And the reason for that, these black police officers, they took the flag off.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guys had been in Vietnam, but my uncle, Robert Leonard, he was the main guy. He could not stand the injustice.
So that's where you get it from?
No, really, I got it from my mama.
Okay, all right.
Really. But anyway, they took the flag off.
Uh-huh.
Once they took the flag off, they took it off because they was not being treated the same way as the white officers.
Injustice.
Okay. After that, they fired them. They fired all of them. It took 21 years before they got paid. 21 years of injustice before they got paid. But you had guys like George Ford, Robert Wright, a lot of other people down there that stuck up. That was a J.R. Allen era.
Okay, we're going to get into that also.
Okay. But anyway, they stuck up. They was there. To fight for these guys. which they had Renault Robinson, as I remember, he came out of Chicago, was a mall cop.
Wow.
But, okay, another thing, too, I want to mention is Richard Woods and Howard Pitts. You know now where they got the softball field now?
Which ones?
South Cummins.
Down South the Cummins, okay.
Okay.
On that, Victor Drive.
On Victor Drive. That used to be the Lounge Golf Course.
Okay.
Which was a white golf course. Later on, they closed it down. And once they closed it down, they gave it to Mr. Woods and Mr. Pitts. And that's where we just play golf at all the time. Okay? Once they started developing down there, they closed the golf course down, and they promised us they were going to build another 9-hole golf course, which, if I'm right, it took 10 to 12 years for them to do this. And that's this Oxbow Creek Golf Course now.
Okay, right off Fort Benning.
Right off Fort Benning.
Okay. Yeah. I play Oxbow a little bit.
Well, that's the from Victor Drive Golf Course.
Oh, wow.
Right. That's exactly the reason they built that golf course. And I like to say some things if you guys want to go to something else.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We educate and inform and inspire.
Okay. Dr. Wright, Bob Wright, used to be an eye doctor. Right down there on 4th Avenue and 8th Street, you know, now it's Veteran Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Right on that corner, him and Dr. Edwards, DeMar Edwards.
Right.
In fact, Dr. DeMar Edwards was the first black doctor ever working at the medical center.
Wow.
Back years and years ago.
Now, what year was the first Afro-American doctor at the medical center?
I can't remember the exact time, but it was way back. It was back there.
In the 60s, 70s?
Let's see, my wife used to work for Dr. I don't know what year it was.
Okay,
it had to be back in the 60s.
Okay, we're going. Okay,
had to be back in the 60s. Bob Wright was the first black Republican down there. Now we have one black mayor in this town.
Now tell us about that.
Okay,
we actually had an Afro American mayor in Columbus, Georgia.
What happened, if I remember right, J.R. Alley.
This is Columbus history. Just in case you're joining us today. With our Sunday conversation with the Rileys entitled Our History, Our Month, and Our Story. We're in the studio today with Mr. Paul Leonard. You know him as Dogman. And he's telling us a little bit about our history in Columbus, Georgia, and abroad. And so, Dogman, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, I was speaking in terms of J.R. Allen.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When J.R. Allen.
Talking about.
The mayor. Used to be the mayor here.
But named the Parkway.
Huh? Yeah, the one that named J.R. Allen Parkway.
Okay.
He was the mayor. Real sharp guy. Definitely sharp. He was definitely a sharp guy. He was having this town, moving this town along.
Right.
Him and Sergeant Boone, which was his bodyguard, they was coming back to Columbus, and they got killed in an aircraft.
So we actually had a mayor in Columbus, Georgia. Get killed in a plane crash.
Plane crash, coming back home.
Okay.
Y'all don't believe me, check it out. Go on Bookface, you can check it out.
Facebook.
Whatever. Anyway, he got killed, Mr. McClung had been the mayor pro tem forever.
A.J.
A.J. McClung. Mm-hmm. They assigned him as the mayor.
Afro-American man,
but we wanted him to run, but he wouldn't go back. He wouldn't run.
Now, how long was he assigned to be the mayor in Columbus, Georgia?
It wasn't that long.
Because we need to know that Columbus, Georgia actually had an Afro-American mayor at one time.
He was the mayor until J.R. Allen's term was up. And I forgot exactly how many months was a year, 6 months, or whatever that he served. But he did serve as the mayor at that time.
You know what? That is awesome. And since it's Afro-American History Month, Afro-American Black History Month, I'm gonna give you a couple of facts. Did you know that the first self-made female millionaire was a black woman by the name of Madam C.J. Walker? And as a barber, my wife is a hairstylist, we are very familiar with Madam C.J. Walker, and she had a movie to come out a couple years ago.
Right.
Also, Black History Month began as Negro History Week. And Carter G. Woodson is the father of black history. He set out a time in 1926 to designate, to promote, and educate people, not just black people, but people about black history and culture. Did you know that? See, we have a lot of history. in Columbus, Georgia, and as Afro-Americans that we need to know about.
Yes.
But some of this history, I encourage our listening audience, some of this history you're going to have to go to the library and Google and find out yourself. Because sometime, like in Florida, they just don't want you to know. But go ahead, beautiful wife. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's things that I'm just listening to Dogman, you know, talk about. I was born and raised in Columbus. Had no idea. And that's why it is so important to be able to not just Google, but sit down with some of our elders and learn about what happened and what is going on today that's factual from the history so that we can appreciate history. I mean, I got my mouth just wide open, just thinking about how did I not know that? But it wasn't taught. It was not taught to us.
Well, another thing I would like to say, I'd like to tell you about Dr. Brewer.
Okay.
Dr. Thomas Brewer. He started the NAACP, the head of the NAACP here.
Now.
At the time, he got killed in 1956.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got killed in 1956, downtown on First Avenue. Uh-huh. Now, Dr. Brewer, he's a medical doctor down there because when I was 11 years old, you know, your mom back then when you was a young man, they always send you to the doctor to get circumcised.
Right.
He circumcised me back then, Dr. Uh-huh. Brewer did. Okay. Dr. Brewer and this guy named Flowers, they knew each other. Dr. Brewer had his office upstairs and Flowers downstairs. Dr. Brewer owned the building. Some kind of way they got in some kind of misunderstanding. Flowers killed Dr. Brewer. He shot him 7 times.
Okay.
Once he shot him, that was 7 times.
Now, is that a fact? Did he go to jail for that?
Let me explain to you what happened.
Okay.
Flowers.
So this is your opinion?
No, this is the truth.
Okay, all right.
Now you can look this up. This is the truth. Flowers killed Dr. Brewer, shot him 7 times. But Dr. Brewer always kept a weapon with him.
Right.
But when the police investigated, they found a weapon in Dr. Brewer's pocket. He never did pull it out. But a year later, Flower was killed. He was shot and killed down there. But they always thought that the police officer had something to do with it. Now you can read that.
Where can our listening audience read that at?
Oh, you can Google it.
Okay, all right.
All they got, Google it right now. You'll find out. 1956 when he got killed.
Okay, awesome.
And they, you know, they named that Brewer School after him. Now I can tell you something else. Once he got killed, a lot of the our dentists and big time people started leaving town. Now, Mary McLeod Mathieu, her uncle was here. Dr. Haskin was a good friend of Dr. Brewer. Those people left. A lot of our people left that was doctors and dentists and all that after that happened. But, okay, they took him to trial. The jury found him not guilty once he went to trial for killing Dr. Brewer. I'm talking about Flowers. But Flowers, someone killed him. But they never found out who killed him. But ain't no doubt in my mind back then, them cops had something to do with it.
Okay. Well, you know, historically, that's also a part of Black history. And we'll talk about that later. The Afro-American relationship with law enforcement. And, you know, we have a show on that next week. Now, my question to both of you, is Black history the same as Black culture?
What was that last word?
Black history the same as Black culture? I don't know if you're young enough to understand what Black culture is, dog man. You understand, Ms. Riley?
Yes.
Okay, is it the same?
I don't think so.
Okay, can you elaborate?
So, culture. So, I just think that, okay, Black history, culture, well, you know what? It could be because culture is actually created. My opinion is that it is actually created from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And so we actually live in the time of that creation. It's almost like a fad of when Waze were out and when 1970s.
Our culture.
And now people are getting Waze again. But in the history of me doing hair, this is like the second go round for me. And so the culture of it creates the history of it. And it's not only a fad.
You know, I think about the culture in my opinion, the culture and history intertwine. I think about Malcolm X when he put the relaxer, the sodium thioglycolate in his head. And then in the 80s, we did the Jerry Curl. That was culture, but now it's history.
Right.
Because we talk about the Jerry Curl, we talk about the relaxer. And so I believe culture, when it's around long enough, and if you're around long enough, I believe the culture becomes history.
Right.
I think they're one and the same, depending on the time.
I agree. I definitely agree. And that's definitely something to think about. My mom always talk about Daisy Duke shorts. Because when she was growing up, she wore Daisy Duke shorts. But when I was growing up, Daisy Duke shorts, I wore Daisy Duke shorts. Now Daisy Duke shorts are Daisy Duke shorts.
But you know, it's amazing because I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard growing up. But did people realize that was a General Lee Confederate flag on top of that car?
Yep.
I don't think so.
No, they didn't because we were crazed over the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right, right.
But again, we need to know our Afro-American history. And we need to know some of the stuff that we like. You know, we need to dive deeper into it, and so we can figure out some of this stuff. Hey, we need to not like it.
You're right.
You know,
I agree.
As an Afro-American man, I always tell my wife I like to own my stuff, and I like to own the good and the bad as an Afro-American man. And so my question, Mr. Paul Leonard, aka Dog Man, what positive advancements have we had as Afro-Americans, in your opinion?
Well, I think a positive advance is black businesses having something for your own ownership.
But if I'm not mistaken, we had more black-owned businesses back in the 40s and 50s before.
That's true.
Integration.
That is true. We did, but all that was taken from us.
Okay. But that's part of our black history.
Yeah.
So you. The black businesses, you think we have advanced as far as black businesses?
Really? No. What I'm saying is this. I think that those are things that we should have worked toward having on our own.
More
of it.
Okay.
I mean, a lot more of it, because now I can tell you, back in the day, I can name a bunch of black businesses that was in the neighborhood. But now you don't even see that no more.
Right. Now, what advancement have we made in black history, Katasha Riley?
Well, I think that, you know, that is factual that entrepreneurship among the black community is definitely on the rise. COVID, you know, sparked something with black businesses, people just wanting to have their own and be more creative during the shutdown. And so most definitely that is going to be a part of our history in real time of what we know and some of our kids as well.
Well, look, if we're going to own our stuff, what negative advancements have we made? What can we do better as a people? Because this is Black History Month. And just in case you're joining, today's Sunday conversation is entitled Our History, Our Month, Our Story. And we have in the studio with us today Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. Dogman. And Dogman has told us some of the things that have taken place in our great city of Columbus, Georgia. So let's own it. So what negative things that we need to work on as Afro-American people to celebrate black history?
Well, I think that not working together, we need to start working more together.
Okay.
Right, we need definitely start working more together.
So do you think we work more together as a people when you were younger versus now?
Yes.
Why?
They had to. They was oppressed all the time. They had to.
Well, you know what? That's maybe for another time, another conversation. Again, I would like to thank Mr. Paul Leonard, a.k.a. Dog Man, for coming in and enlightening us on some Black History in Columbus, Georgia and abroad. It's Black History Month, and we'd just like to thank our listening audience to listen to today's conversation with the Rileys entitled Our History, Our Month, and Our Story. And in closing, I would just like to encourage everyone that's under 50, because it's Black History Month, talk to someone older than you, sit up under them, get some wisdom, get some knowledge, learn where you come from, why you act the way you act, why you think the way you think, because Black history is important for everyone, not just Afro-American, it's important for everyone. This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.